Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where the president and first lady hosted a 4th of July celebration and barbecue on the south lawn of the White House. The guests were active duty military families.
Jill and I are honored to spend the day with so many military families. You represent a link in a chain of honor that stretches back to our founding days.
The entertainment included a military band and Grammy winners Ne-Yo and Brothers Osborne. And while the guests picnicked on the lawn, there were, of course, fireworks. Coast to coast, many celebrated the founding of our nation, oohing and aahing over fireworks, but a display turned deadly in Gilmer, Texas. KYTX-TV reporter Jose Alonso.
Officials say one person who was inside the building was killed and four others outside sustained injuries.
When they got here, it was fully engulfed. It was very hot. Fireworks are going to be the cause of what happened, okay? We don't know what caused the incident to occur, why the fireworks did what they did.
The person that died was a beloved community member here and will dearly be missed.
A 2-year-old girl in Michigan is missing.
Winter Smith disappeared from Lansing, Michigan on Sunday night. Police say 26-year-old Rashad Trice kidnapped the 2-year-old over the weekend after stabbing her mother. They said Trice and Winter's mother dated previously, but he's not Winter's father. Trice was arrested in St. Clair Shores in Winter's mother's car Monday, but the child was not with him. Winter's 1-year-old brother was found at the family's house unharmed.
That's CBS's Jennifer Kuiper. The FBI is now offering a $25,000 reward for any information leading to the girl. A federal judge has blocked the Biden administration from contacting social media companies to encourage them to remove, delete, or suppress content containing protected speech. Tech contributor Ian Schur with details.
The key issue here are the limits of the government's power when confronted with First Amendment issues and private companies' responsibility to weigh issues like free expression versus harassment and safety.
The Secret Service is investigating how a bag of suspicious white powder believed to be cocaine was found in the White House on Sunday. The substance was discovered in a common area of the West Wing. It did test positive for cocaine. A senior law enforcement official told CBS News the substance was found in a storage facility in a cubby that's routinely used by White House staff and guests to store cell phones. The Secret Service will look now at cameras and entrance logs to determine who had access to that space. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far-right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin DeVos and Devin Lemmyhew, the Republican Party at the top. Why don't start banning books, for God's sake?
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well.
Oh, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowalk. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, and on the board today we got Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello!
Jane is out, but she's doing well. No need to worry.
No.
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 No. But
guess what?
We do miss her.
We miss her and we love her.
And when we hear that laugh.
Oh my God, that
there's nothing better than an organic, guttural laugh from Jane. When I really get to make her laugh,
it makes you feel funny.
It does.
Yep.
It does. Trying to do this show with a silent producer and then obviously no audience. Because I come from, even though I'm not a stand up, like you are a stand up, I've done some stand up, but I certainly grew up doing theater.
Yeah.
And there is something about having the live audience to tell you to check in with. Mm-hmm. Be like, all right, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Versus the, are these jokes landing? And this silence. So the litmus test.
They're
being,
just jokes, people.
Did I make Jane laugh is typically a good one. But welcome back to the show. I don't know if your social media looked anything like mine over the weekend or if you were involved in any of some of the protests or demonstrations that happened, but on Saturday marked a year since the Roe versus Wade reversal happened, and in many states, including Wisconsin, we reverted to basically a complete ban of abortions. And for some people, maybe it hasn't really affected their life at all, and for others, this has been absolutely devastating. And so, you know, even after a leaked draft alerting the country of the decision a month before it came down, how exactly abortion access would change around the country was still an open question. And now a year in, here's kind of where we're at. So 25 states have passed new abortion restrictions in the past year. And of those, 13 have passed near total or total abortion bans, some with no exceptions for rape or incest at all. On the flip side, 20 states have passed laws protecting abortion rights, but being a safe haven for abortion seekers can come with its own challenges. Planned Parenthood of Illinois saw a 54% spike in new patients over the last year, and one clinic in Kansas City received so many out-of-state patients that it's only able to help 10 to 15% of people who are seeking abortions at its facility. And it's hard to keep track what's legal where, because since the beginning of 2023, 700 bills concerning abortion, about half of those aiming to restrict it, half hoping to protect it, have been introduced in state legislatures, and that's just this year. And I kind of, my take on this when this came down last year, and my Journal Sentinel video for this, of like, was this was, because it was the law of the land, and now, you know, what their stated intention was at first, which I think has been disproven, is like, oh, it should be a state decision. And the amount of litigation and lawsuits and deciphering of what does that mean is, it has introduced chaos, and chaos at the expense of women's health. And I say this as, like, when this first came down, you know, this was June of 20 last year, I was getting married in August, and I knew that pretty quickly after getting married, we were going to try to start having a baby. And I also knew that once you're past 35, you become a geriatric pregnancy, which mm-hmm. is so fun. Just so fun to be referred to as. But immediately, you become a higher risk pregnancy. And so living, for me personally, living in a state where I knew that I was going to try to get pregnant, it was going to be a wanted pregnancy. I didn't know how hard it was going to be for me. I didn't know if they were there, and some places are coming after like IVF and stuff like that next. But also, if there was any complications, what that would mean. And I knew, you know, it's like, ultimately, I have enough income and resources that this was never going to be, like, it was going to be an obstacle, but it wouldn't be life-threatening. Like, if something were to happen, and this has been my experience, even as I've kind of held my breath at every doctor's appointment I've had since becoming pregnant in finding out in February, you know, of holding my breath and making sure everything's okay. And that needing to go to Chicago isn't going to have to be an option, because that is the option now for women who have wanted pregnancies where something happens and they can't have their doctors at home help them because those doctors run the risk of being prosecuted. And Vice had a really good roundup of, I'm sure it's not even all of them, but of stories that have we've made headlines of how much this has impacted women's health and individual stories across the country. And, you know, we're at the point now where around 66,000 people were unable to get abortions in their home state, according to data that was released from the Society of Family Planning. And more than 30,000 seemed unable to get legal abortions at all. And so what happened with those people is not really known. Like, did they leave the country? Did they induce on their own? Did they simply stay pregnant? And, like, likely there's never going to be a full accounting for that, but there are stories. And I will link to that Vice story to our show notes today, because I also don't think it makes good radio for me to run through all of them, but it's the amount of women who have stories like entering 18 weeks of pregnancy and having your water break, but there's still a heartbeat. And so the doctors make it clear that, like, there's no chance you're going to be able to give birth to a healthy baby, but we can't do anything. This was a story in Missouri, and, you know, basically she had to try to go to Kansas, try to go to Illinois, and she had to go from Missouri to Illinois to finally get any kind of medical attention for her unviable pregnancy. And, you know, this has raised issues with digital privacy and, like, the lengths that certain lawmakers are willing to go to prosecute people, because in Nebraska, they charged a 17-year-old and her mother with multiple felonies and misdemeanors after the pair allegedly conspired to for Celeste abortion. And they did this by basically going through going through her private Facebook chats, and that was legal. And so, like, the digital privacy has become an entire thing. Crossing state lines has become a thing. You know, in Wisconsin, we had a woman who bled for 10 days after hospital staff refused to remove fetal tissue from her incomplete miscarriage. And another one, an Ohio woman was sent home from the hospital after a miscarriage, still bleeding and without medical attention. Another woman who lived in Ohio was blocked from getting an abortion in the state even after tests revealed that her fetus had kidney failure and heart defects. Continuing the pregnancy would put her life at risk, so the woman traveled to Michigan for an abortion. And it's just, like, it's stories like this where it doesn't seem to be getting any clearer and there doesn't seem to be any priority as far as making these guidelines less vague so doctors know what they can and cannot do. Because conservatives are convinced that, like, well, they want to redefine abortion, right? Like, that was introduced in Wisconsin's legislature. It's like, well, when it's for medical reasons, it's not actually an abortion. But it is, because an abortion is a medical procedure. And it's just at the expense of women potentially dying, having to be on the brink of death, losing their baby, losing their uterus. Because there's many times that this ends so badly that they have to have an emergency hysterectomy, and then their ability to even have another baby comes, and like in the name of squabbling. And it's incredibly sad. And I think, I don't know if it's going to take Janet Protasiewicz being on the court for things to get settled here, but like, it doesn't feel like we're any closer in this state to getting to a better solution, despite the fact that more than 60% of Americans think that overturning Roe was a bad thing, according to polling from Gallup. And 69% of Americans, a record high, also believe that abortion should be legal in the first trimester of pregnancy. And yet here we are.
Is where we're always going to be with all these hot button issues: abortion, gun rights, voting. Overall majority of the people say yes to, like, the freedoms, the privacy, the all the things that we believe as Americans we should have. But here comes Congress telling us they know better, or here comes the Assembly or the State Senate because they know better.
Well, and what's so frustrating about this is the myriad of ways and exceptions and scenarios that when you try to get into this kind of debate with someone, that you can throw out of, like, well, what if it's a fetal anomaly? What if the water breaks? What if, like, all of these different things? What if it's rape? If it's incest? Who takes care of the baby? Because, like, simultaneously you hear people say, as I did last week, don't have kids if you can't afford them. But it's like, well, I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
And yet you're telling me I have to. And it's almost like, because, you know, you try, I would think that the best policy is don't legislate for exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Legislate for the rule.
Yeah.
And when it comes to people's health, it's so many individual cases that the chaos that has ensued is because you can't legislate all of these different scenarios.
No.
Like, how do you measure how close a woman has to be to death to say, now you can do it? And who's supposed to? Robin Voss is supposed to? All these guys who were, like, landlords, they're the ones who are supposed to tell us, like, well, this makes sense to me. Like, none of these people who are making these laws, or I would say most of them, don't have medical backgrounds, and they're the ones who get to decide, like, where's the line? So,
take your advice from the popcorn king of Wisconsin, Robin Voss.
All right. Well, that's my rant for today. But when we come back, something happened in Russia over the weekend.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even think I fully understand the whole thing, but we're going to try to parse through what happened in, like, a 36-hour span that captured at least a lot of people online's attention. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. The clinic and call me a murderer. Now that's hate. So needless to say, we're in a mental state of debate.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 68 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 90. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
This summer,
540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
4 to 6, the
Ukraine, Ukraine, знову до нас поперлася москальня. Казавши на парад Київ йде, любим сусідам русский мир принесе. Нет, Владимир, нет, Владимир, брешеш ти усьому світу, що ти за мир. Нет, Владимир, нет, Владимир, брешеш ти усьому світу, що ти за мир.
I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach, coming in with the theme music for this segment.
you're welcome.
Thank you for that. That is, I just made me want to wish I could. What's the move? What's the Russian dance move when they're like squatting and they're kicking? It's like.
It's called a Russian squat kick.
No, it's not.
I know it's not.
But you know what I'm talking about. When it's like the Russian dancers and they, it's kind of like the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kick line, but it's very athletic. I could never do it.
Okay.
I tried. Okay. Not good. Not good.
Fell on your tuchus?
Fell on my coccyx.
Do I have to dump out for that? Oh, my God.
All right. So if you know what, you know, the term TLDR typically means too long, don't read. But in this case, too long, didn't revolt. So I got wind of this, I think, just casually through social media because, I don't know, I was checking things online. But basically, in a 36-hour period this weekend, a private Russian mercenary army denounced their country's leadership, caravanned towards Moscow in an act of open revolt, then agreed to a truce that ended the hostilities almost as quickly as they began. And basically, one Twitter person, which is actually pretty funny, said, this coup could have been an email. And so while it was, you know, shorter than a test cricket match.
Deep people, cut. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. The mutiny, supposedly now the mutiny, I don't know, because some people are now saying this was fake news entirely that was like planted to throw off Ukrainians. But some people are also saying the mutiny is going to leave like a long-term stain for Putin and have exposed him to threats that he's never faced in like the 20 years he's been leading Russia. And so did you follow this much, Greg? Oh, he's all right. We're taking a call right now. But so basically on Friday, the businessman who leads the Wagner, and I didn't know, this is all new. These are new names to me. I am not a like geopolitical savant where I know who the major players are and all of this stuff. So this is stuff that I am reading and trying to relay as far as it making sense. But so there's a Wagner private army for Russia. And Yevgeny Prigozhin, which I think how you pronounce his name, and he dramatically escalated this long simmering feud with the country's military leadership, and he was posting messages on Telegram, which is I don't use Telegram, so I don't even know how that works, and has accused Russia's defense minister of bombing his troops. So he announced a quote march for justice against the Russian defense system. So as Prigozhin and his Wagner army marched toward Moscow, Russia charged him with mounting an open rebellion. And then, like, bizarre scenes of everyday life coming with, like, armed revolt in a major Russian city. And, like, this was spreading across social media. Leaders in Ukraine and the West, like, don't, like, they said they'd rather have, like, Prigozhin. Like, I think they were, like, trying to decide, like, Prigozhin or Putin, like, which one they have. But both, like, don't necessarily seem like a good thing as far as just the, in general, instability. So then basically, after being on the cusp of civil war on Saturday, the two sides agreed to a truce that would send Prigozhin to Belarus in exchange for amnesty, and Wagner troops would stand down from their march on Moscow. So, like, crisis averted? But it's, like, a very weird thing to be, like, that close to civil war and then just be like, all right, well, I guess it's over. And so, Greg, did you follow this much?
All I heard is that the only things I could get out of it was, like, some of the higher ups in Russia were kind of like, yeah, we're gonna go home. We're good. Wrap this up.
Yeah, like, people were, like, leaving the country.
Yeah, just like.
So that's what I mean. Like, that's why I feel like I can't. It wasn't, unless that also was fake news. Because I think that's the thing. Like, ultimately, and this is hard for me as a trusting person, but, like, because as far as I understand, like, Putin owns the media there.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, my brother was more on the side of, even as this was all unraveling, mm-hmm. being like, there's a chance that this is, like, planted and just, you know, misinformation or disinformation to, like, coax the Ukrainians into thinking that Russia is weaker than it is and all of this stuff. And I was like, this is.
Yeah, because the Ukrainians are really going to buy it. Like, oh, really? Let's go outside. It's over.
But my favorite on all of this is, especially when people start becoming experts on anything, is then, like, subsequently the tweets and the people who make fun of them is being like, you went from, in, like, a 36-hour period, you went from being a expert on submersibles and really giving your 2 cents on what should have been happening with the Titan in, yeah. and OceanGate into now being a geopolitical expert on Ukrainian-Russian warfare and all of the inner workings as far as this revolution is happening.
If you just do your research, Kristen, do your research.
And so that's the thing. And it's funny because it makes me think of... This is a key point of why I think, for many reasons, but, you know, when we've talked about this blue checkmark thing on Twitter, and now what's happened is, as you're, what was still a dumpster, always been a dumpster fire in one way or another, Twitter, but, like, at one point, it was the best place to get up-to-the-minute, real-time information as major world news was breaking, like a potential civil war in Russia. And now, it's not that those updates aren't still happening, but there's not an ability to know, unless you've curated your Twitter feed and you really know who you trust and who you don't trust, but, like, as things populate, the blue check mark means nothing, right? It doesn't mean that you're listening to someone who's, like, a verified expert in what they're talking about, or a verified news outlet that knows what they're talking about. It has verified the information before they're putting it out. And so, like, the amount of stuff that comes out that you just kind of have to be like, then do more research to even know who that person is that's making that claim, feels like not worth it. It's like, I'll just wait till the New York Times writes their update about this whole situation. All right. When we come back, Dr. Bryce Smith will be here to tell us some stories about the history, some just historical stories of LGBTQ people in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin.
Love it.
Stick around. This is going to be really fun. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A 4th of July parade was held in the nation's capital, and on the South Lawn of the White House, the President and First Lady hosted a party for military families.
Saying goodbye to friends and jobs, losing sleep when your service member is away, putting your chin up and your shoulders back, no matter what this country asks of you.
Something went terribly wrong with a backyard fireworks display in Michigan.
It shook the whole neighborhood. It shook my lawn chair sitting in the chair. That's how loud the explosion was.
One person died. A 2-year-old Michigan girl disappeared Sunday. Police say Rashad Trice kidnapped her after stabbing her mother. They found him, but not the girl.
Including our child abduction response team, behavioral analysis units, and other technical units to assist the Lansing Police Department.
That's FBI agent Devin Kowalski. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Too much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. And I'm so excited to talk to our next guest. Dr. Bryce Smith is a fantastic historian who leads LGBT Milwaukee Project, which we'll get more about that later. And he's recently been expanding his efforts into recording and telling stories of history of the Black LGBTQ plus community in Milwaukee. And I'm so excited to hear more stories from him. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bryce.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you as well.
Yes. So I guess let's start with the basics of, and it's hard to, besides just emphasizing it with my voice, but how it's spelled. But what is LGBT Milwaukee?
Yes, we put the walk in Milwaukee. It's, in short, it's a historic walking tour app. We officially launched it last summer in June, and we launched with 25 sites, and we've recently added 4 more this year. Basically, and the reason this whole thing came into being is because I was invited to be a speaker at the 60th anniversary commemorating the Black Knight Brawl. And several of us were invited to speak at this event. And we're all just standing there in this like huge empty lot downtown, right? Including at the time, Mayor Barrett. And he's, you know, as he was talking, he was saying, you know what? I have lived in Milwaukee my whole life. I had no idea of the history that transpired here. I go by this place every day. No idea. And, you know, it was just such a poignant statement. And, you know, I was very much feeling the same way. Like, here we are in this just, you know, like trash-filled lot looking around. And, you know, there's no, like, visible mark of the history that was made here. And there were no marks anywhere in the entire city. I mean, there was no, like, physical evidence of the literal mark that we had left on the city mm-hmm. as a community. And I really wanted to create something so that everyone could see the different places that we made history, the different sites of historic significance, to be able to start sharing some of our stories in compelling ways that resonated with people, but also in a really personal and accessible way, right? So that mm-hmm. everyone could always have our history in the palm of their hands, like no matter where they went. So I recruited local LGBTQ talent. Everybody who works on the project is a part of the community. And, you know, it ended up being even greater than I imagined, just bringing in all these super talented folks. And we're able to launch it in June to great fanfare.
Which is awesome.
Rest in history.
So it's a free app. So basically it's a free app you can download. You can find it in both the Apple App Store and the Google Play. And it basically, as you walk around the city, in the same way, I guess sometimes when there's like physical, actual little plaques that from Wisconsin Historical Society, that's like, this building was blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what that is, except you'd have to read your app and then look at the building and be like, oh, this happened here, right?
Yep, that's right. And what we did, though, we wanted to, you know, because I'm all about making history as accessible and as interesting as possible, because you know, I've experienced firsthand the power of history in shaping my life. So what we did too is that, you know, we didn't just want it to be kind of your typical walking tour, you know, where you just kind of listen and you have someone, you know, kind of monotone, just blah, 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 you know, kind of telling the story. We wanted it to be more of like an experience.
Okay.
So for each of the sites, we actually produced what I like to refer to as mini documentaries. So they're anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes long. And we use different pictures, either from the actual events or people that we're talking about, or else contemporary pictures to help tell the story. But it basically ends up creating this feeling of, you know, like basically if you're sitting in your gay uncle's basement watching old slideshows, right? And hearing him tell the stories of what occurred at these various locations. So you can actually walk there and, you know, do the actual walking tours and go to the sites themselves, you know, which can be a powerful experience. Like, you know, as I was sharing, like with the Black Knight, right? The fact that it is now an empty lot like that, you know, can really, you know, be a powerful thing. You know, the fact that you can't even see the building that used to be there, that it is literally, our history has literally been erased from there. So, you know, you can either walk to the sites and experience them in that ways, or I like to joke that it's an all-weather app. So if it's cold and snowy outside, you could also just hang out at home and binge watch all of the mini documentaries that we produce.
So I actually have to claim ignorance. I don't know what the Black Knight Brawl is. So that's what you reference is like that was kind of the inspirational point of talking about that, like commemorating that event. But I don't. What is the Black Knight Brawl?
Well, I would be happy to tell you. It was actually the first LGBTQ uprising in Wisconsin, and also one of the first in the U.S. And don't worry, you are not alone and not knowing about it. We've, you know, been working really hard in the past couple of years to help share this story because it is so inspiring. And also, you know, it's of great historical significance. And basically what happened was in August of 1961, four sailors were dared to go to this gay bar known as the Black Knight. So they went there, and as they were trying to get in the door, right, the gay bars at the time, and we tried to have some method of gatekeeping to try to ensure that the patrons could be protected, mm-hmm. right? Like, so there was a bouncer at the door who asked to see their IDs and also asked them to sign the sheet of paper to come in. Well, the sailors didn't like that. They got into a bit of a tussle with the bouncer. And Josie Carter came to the bouncer's rescue. Now, Josie at the time identified as a queen. Today, we would probably describe her as being non-binary. She was a Black queen. She came to his defense, took out her heels, went after these guys. They ran off, vowing to come back and really raise heck, right? So meanwhile, as they're, you know, licking their wounds and, you know, trying to get some more courage. Josie rounds up members of the community, like 70 plus members of the community. Right? At the time, there were very few public spaces that queer and trans people had access to. So the bars were one of these, you know, rare places, not only in our city, but, you know, all across the country, where we could go and be ourselves and also meet others like us. So, you know, when a space like that feels threatened, you know, you just, you want to defend your home at all costs, right? It was just this refuge. Mm-hmm. So she rallied the troops and these sailors came back and were met with a mob. The melee ensued and the police came and actually arrested the sailors. And this became an event that inspired the gay community moving forward, kind of became a flashpoint for some of the organizing that was going on here in Milwaukee and across the state. You know, people saw this covered in a newspaper. There were articles about it. And you know, at the time, people were used to gay people, you know, trying to hide, you know, like trying not to get arrested or caught and having their names printed in the newspaper because they might lose their jobs. Well, in this case, you know, here were folks who were fighting back and, mm-hmm. you know, saying, hey, we have a right to the city. We have a right to our space, too. And here we are.
So it's not unlike Stonewall.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, as far as, like, it's so, so much. I mean, earlier, yes, but I'm just saying, as far as, like protecting our space and, like, saying enough is enough, happening at a bar, like, it's so many parallels to the story that I think is, you know, we get told more. But to know that that happened in Milwaukee, where, what neighborhood was Black Knight in?
Sure. Well, it's down around, like, the Milwaukee Public Market.
Okay.
So basically, like where St. Paul kind of ends, right there. And it's now they're building a distillery there, the Fromm Neiman family, the dog park. Are you familiar with kind of that area?
Yeah, of course.
So they are actually now building stuff up on the site, which is exciting. And, you know, what I love about the story of the Black Knight, too, is you're absolutely right. It has so many similarities to what happened with Stonewall, but I also love the fact that unlike Stonewall, right, where the patrons were the ones who got arrested, in this instance, the sailors got arrested.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because Josie was friends with the police and the police knew that she was telling the truth. So they came in there and, you know, wanted to help defend Josie, who they're friends with, and the rest of the community, which I think is just amazing.
That is definitely a twist to a story.
Something that.
Yeah, is, seriously, right? Well, I want to make sure we have time because on top of, so LGBT Milwaukee is an app for Milwaukee, but you are also involved in the PBS Wisconsin Pride series that is out now, and so that, and that has more history about pride LGBT history across the state, correct?
It does, yes. Yep, and I was invited to participate in the documentary, and it's just amazing. I highly recommend it to everybody. You can stream it online. Just go to pbs.org and look up Wisconsin Pride. And the reason I was invited to participate was to speak about Lou Sullivan, who is a world-renowned trans activist and author from Wauwatosa and also from Milwaukee. He was involved with the gay liberation movement here. I actually published Lou's biography. It's titled Lou Sullivan, Daring to Be a Man Among Men. And Lou is actually the reason why I became an historian.
Wow.
I came across him. I'm sorry to interrupt. I took a history course on a whim, and you know, I was going through the library trying to find a topic for my final paper, and you know, I came across him in one of the books on the shelves, and I just started like going through all of them trying to find more, and became frustrated that I couldn't find out more information about him. So I decided to, if I was so frustrated that his biography didn't exist, then I figured, well, then I might as well write it.
Take initiative.
I love it.
Yes, I pursued my PhD in history to be able to tell his story. And it was in the process of, researching his story and writing about it that I actually came to understand and embrace my own identity as a trans man. And I figured, you know what, if this guy could do it, then why can't I? And I just drew so much courage from his story and the ways in which he overcame his challenges that, I experienced firsthand the power of history, and it changed my life. And so I've been wanting to share this gift with others ever since.
Oh,
this is so happy.
There were so many frustrating things we talked about earlier in the show. This is making me so happy. So I guess we only have 2 minutes left before we have to let you go, Dr. Bryce, but I guess as we come to the end of this Pride Month, and I feel like this Pride Month has felt different than recent years because of how many attacks, legal attacks, there are across the country on trans rights, on the LGBTQ community overall. And so as far as things to take through, that things that are so celebrated during Pride to keep with us throughout the year, what would your advice on that be for our listeners?
Yeah, just that, we're your neighbors, and just that, just to learn as much as you can about those who came before us, to know that we've always been here, and that, we keep finding ways to persevere and to do so with style and flair, that we would not have realized all the gains that we have were it not for our allies. So thank you, everyone who loves us, and for seeing who we are and realizing that the world is a better place with us in it.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected today, with scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 90, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 61. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 77. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Currently, 63.
I always saw you just before the dawn, when all the other kids had just dragging along.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And unfortunately, we hit the commercial mark with Dr. Bryce Smith, who is a historian and one of the leaders and innovators of LGBT Milwaukee. And also can be seen on the PBS's Wisconsin Pride series, docuseries. We'll link all of that in today's show notes, because there's lots to check out there. And I think he makes such a great point that there is, it's kind of how sometimes I feel like about Black history in Wisconsin, that there's so much there that we don't learn in school.
Yep, absolutely. Gosh,
and
yes.
When you hear those stories and you realize how much has happened in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee, it's really cool to learn about.
And I was talking to Dr. Smith or Bryce off air, and he said that he'd love to come back to talk about more about Black LGBTQ and trans history and things like that. Unfortunately, we did get cut off, but wonderful conversation, made me smile, made me feel good. And it's just, I love it.
I know. And you know, one of the things, I think the music was starting to play him out off, but I had an experience. I don't think I talked about this on air, but 2 weekends ago, I went to a wedding. It was a gay wedding, mm-hmm. good friends of ours. And you know, I didn't think twice about it because they're my friends, and that's what you do. You, when you get invited to a wedding, you go.
Yeah.
And it was, I would say 90% of the attendees, the guests were also gay. And at the end of the night, obviously, they ended up at This Is It. Like, that was the after party for the wedding.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I had one of their friends come up to me, and I was, like, obviously pregnant. And I had never met him before. And he just, like, thanked Mike and I for even being there.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was something that I just take for granted, because I'm like, well, they're my friends. Of course I would be here. But he so sincerely said, like, in this time and the state of the country right now, to have straight people show up and celebrate us means more than you can possibly know. He's always, and then to know that you two are bringing a kid into the world who's going to have your values means even more. And I just, like, immediately start crying. But I think it's something for so many of us to remember coming out of Pride Month, which is, you know, it's like, it's parades and it's fun and it's parties and it's rainbows. But ultimately, like, this is a reality for people year round. And I don't think anything's going to, it's going to start feeling more safe anytime soon with the rhetoric that we keep hearing from certain conservatives and certain conservative groups, and just letting women's sports and protecting women's sports be the scapegoat. And that's totally a red herring.
Yeah. The fight never stops.
Yeah. And I think it's just, as people who walk through life, who don't have to think about those things, mm-hmm. like, remember how, like, the little things of showing up throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think twice about that, but, like, it matters.
Yeah.
And so that's it.
You're showing up and you're standing up. You're doing something about it. You're putting these topics on your show. You could easily not put them on your show either.
That's true.
And I, you know, as someone as part of the community, I thank you for that.
How do you feel after your first show?
I'm not there yet.
Are you sweaty?
No, I'm not, which is weird. I'm usually sweating all the time. But no, I'm feeling good. I have a couple notes for myself. Moving forward, you know, just
little... I think you were great.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone would have known this was your first show.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone out there. I appreciated Tony Zimmerman until he sold me out on the baby nose thing, but you know, I've seen it happen. I've got pictures of it.
We're gonna have to research this.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, a correction. So I had to look this up because someone texted in saying that the state owns American Family Field, not the county, but more specifically, who actually owns it is it was so it was opened in 2001 as Miller Park, and then it was renamed American Family Field in 2021. The stadium is owned and operated by the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball District, a state-created agency that effectively is the Brewers' landlord. So if it's a state-created agency, they may be right in that it's the state owns it, but it's specifically that group.
It sounds like they are a group that reports back to the state then.
So. Probably. But then why was only the five counties that had to pay for...
Because he only had to do that. He didn't have to push it out. It could have just been Milwaukee, but he decided, we'll stick it to him. And that was five counties. That's why I still refer to...
Oh, Tommy Thompson. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's why I still refer to this park as County Stadium 2, Electric Boogaloo, because I paid for it.
There you go.
There you go. My hot take.
Hot take. All right. Well, in the last minute, end of an era. So your big thing is still Lego.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said it correctly.
You did. I appreciate you respecting the brand.
But over the weekend, this just brought back reading about this, some nostalgia for me. So your sister and you are probably a generation too old, but American Girl dolls?
We had Cabbage Patch Kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So American Girl dolls, that was like my generation.
Yeah.
Big, big, big. And so for years now, I mean, I think since like 98, they've been owned by Mattel. So it's a much bigger thing than it originally was, but started in Middleton with Pleasant Roland. But this over the weekend, it was the last American Girl benefit, which the money from all of the sales goes to the Madison Children's Museum. And like literally the Madison Children's Museum is like considered like the house that dolls built, because at its peak, they raised like over $1 million in this one weekend sale, where it's basically all of this inventory of American Girl dolls, which are not cheap for like 30% off. And I remember going to that as a kid. Like it used to be when I was a kid, it was in like a warehouse in Middleton.
Yeah.
Before Middleton is now as built up as Middleton is. But they had their last one over the weekend. And it's basically because the Children's Museum, I think, is starting to have different initiatives and projects that they want to work on. But this like fundraiser is 35 years old. It's almost as old as I am.
It's definitely younger than me.
It's younger than you. But I just, you know, they expected like between like 3,000 and 7,000 attendees. And it was like an opportunity, especially for like Wisconsin girls or boys.
Yeah.
To go get
Wisconsin
like
kids.
Discounted American Girl doll stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was end of an era. But I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking, pretty sure my mom still has my doll, so I won't have to buy new ones for her.
Hopefully she likes them.
That's the thing. Maybe she'll like Lego.
Yeah.
If you have anything to do with it.
Oh yeah, I already got old presents picked out.
All right. Well, that does it for today. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. We will be back tomorrow. And actually, Dan Schaefer is going to be here tomorrow. He's going to kick off a new weekly segment with Dan Schaefer, where we're going to recombobulate on Tuesdays. So come back then, 10 a.m. We'll do it all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Church. I bet it will I be a roller boy by looking back to dirt in my search. I keep on searching. Well, listen, when I tell you, gonna talk.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local city. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.